It's so good to be in your presence, Lord. Just to know that you are God and God alone. I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me, it's so good to be in your presence, Lord. Just to know that you are God and God alone. I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, oh, your river, as your river runs by me, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, as your river runs by me. It's so good to be in your presence, Lord. Just to know that you are God and God alone. I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me. As your river runs by me, oh, the river, as your river runs by me, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, as your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, oh yeah, as your river runs by me, oh holy river, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, I find life, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, as your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, as your river runs by me.
One more time.
It's so good to be in your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord, every day.
And just to know that you are God and God alone.
Every step.
I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me. As your river runs by me, oh, the river. As your river runs by me, I find life, I find peace, I find joy. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. Yes, I do. I find life, I find peace, I find joy, only in you, Jesus. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. Sing it a couple times. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. As your river runs by me.
as your river runs by me. I find life, I find peace, I find joy as your river runs by me. As your river runs by me. Oh Lord, that we would get in the river. As a river runs by me. Yes, Lord.
Daniel, if you could come up and just share briefly an overview, too, of what the chaplaincy does for the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. I know Mitch is here, too, one of your chaplains. Daniel is also a pastor here in Memphis. And if you could introduce and pray before Sheriff Bonner speaks.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here again this week, 2 weeks in a row, and being able to share the word last week. I really appreciate that opportunity. You know, the Sheriff's Department is so much more than what a lot of people think of right away. You think of crime and think of incidents that you hear on the news, but our Sheriff's Department is so involved in the community and serving in the community. It's just a privilege for me to be able to volunteer and serve in the Sheriff's Department. And David said it, I mean, it's integrity. I've just grown to appreciate so many of their leaders. And so it's a pleasure this morning to present to you the leader of leaders. But before that, last week I spoke about the chaplaincy. Our number one mission is to serve the ones who work on the law enforcement side of the Sheriff's Department. There is another chaplaincy that serves in the jail and on the correction side. And I shared some examples of how we serve the deputies. Just to highlight another side of it, we also, by being there, are able to serve the citizens that are involved in incidents. And we talked about the deputies in a 20-year career, maybe will go through 180 or more traumatic incidents. And so that's our priority, are the deputies. But for those families that are also going through, it may be a tragic car crash, or I like to kind of present it through examples. We had one of our pastors just a few months ago respond to a young man that had deceased in a car at a gas station. So they called the chaplain, they called this pastor, and he was able to go to the scene. The father and mother showed up. They were separated, divorced. I'm not sure the exact details. He was able to get there and call their pastors to come to the scene, pray with them, call some friends as well that were able to come and drive them, because he really didn't feel like they were in the condition to drive after that scene. It was just one of those deals where he was able to take and spend some time with those folks and let the deputies do the work that they had to do. We hear more feedback from the citizens. In 2021, I was called to a drowning of a 4-year-old, and in the same year, a drowning of an 86-year-old. I went one night to Pete and Sam's just to eat dinner in regular clothes, nothing that showed that I was with the Sheriff's Department. And the hostess came up to me and she said, "You are a chaplain with the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And she said, "You were at my grandmother's house when she drowned." She said, "You don't know how much that meant to us, that you were there and you could minister to us." And I went back months later to a rehearsal dinner at the same, and she came back up to me again, and she said, "We keep meeting here." She said, "Thank you again for what you do with the Sheriff's Department."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up. See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out about your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, how I want to see you. See you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. High lifted up, high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Let's sing that one more time. Holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
One more time.
I want to see you. I want to see.
Well, Sheriff Bonner is the head, and he leads these tremendous outreaches, some that I didn't know existed even after being in the Sheriff's Department for a while. But we have volunteer services that go out and minister to shut-ins and people that can't get out, checking on them. There's days where food is given out. There's ministries to some of our schools, and maybe Sheriff Bonner will share some of that. They've adopted places around the city where they minister to people who really have needs. So I'm so proud to be a part of the team. Sheriff Bonner, I don't get to talk to him a whole lot because we're at a lot of events, but he's always busy. He's always going. He's kind of the parallels between a sheriff and pastor. I think he's 24 hours on call, 7 days a week, 365 days. He doesn't get a day off. He doesn't go home at 4:30 or 5 o'clock. He's going to county commission meetings and going to things like this to speak. He's going all the time. One of the things that I appreciate about him is that he's a person that loves people. And I see that. I go to graduations, I go to promotional ceremonies, I go to retirement receptions, and he's always speaking to the families, he's speaking to the young officers coming in. I mean, it's just like a father up there giving advice. And not all of our sheriffs have been there and done that, but he's been there and done that. He started as a patrolman and came up through the ranks. And he knows what they go through. He knows what they do. Just one more thing. We were at a promotion ceremony last Tuesday. Quite a few were promoted. And he said to them as leaders, he said, I want y'all to know, not every mistake and every time these guys mess up is a punishment discipline time. He said, some of those are a teaching time. And he said, I want you guys to lead these guys by caring for them and being an example. And that's just his heart. So it's my honor today to present to you Sheriff Floyd Bonner Jr. He's just starting his second term. And so, Sheriff, God bless you. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you for Sheriff Bonner. Lord, we thank you for his leadership. We thank you for the strength that you give him. Lord, we ask that you will use him today and you'll use him, Lord, as he leads our city, our county. Lord, as the top peace officer. And Lord, we just pray that through him, that this county will know your peace. We thank you that he's a man of God. We thank you that he loves you and he's not ashamed of that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning to all. Good morning. I still don't like getting up early in the morning. I still have my morning voice. I tried to get a couple cups of coffee and tried to talk a little bit with Marie and everything so I could get this morning voice off of me. But it's still difficult for me to do that. Praise God. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning and going through the devotional service here in Testimonies. And it's just good to be here. Mitch, thank you for being here. Others, some of the friends that I know here, it is indeed a pleasure to be here. As they said, as Pastor said, I'm Sheriff Floyd Bonner. I'm your sheriff, whether you want me to be or not. I just got elected for four more years, but I thank God for the opportunity and thank God for all that he's done for me in my lifetime. Tell you a little bit about myself, and I don't have anything scripted. I seem to do better when I don't write stuff down than I do when I do write things down. But tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up with a mother and a father. My father was a Memphis Police Department officer, but grew up in a home with a mother and father that took us to church from sun up to sundown. We went on Sundays, we started at Sunday schools and didn't end the night until BTU late that Sunday night. Sung in the choir, youth choir, as I was growing up. Was baptized at a relatively early age. Found the Lord and been on that battlefield ever since then. I don't mind telling anyone that I believe in God and that I am a Christian. And it's important for us to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. And I talk to these young officers now and tell them, you know, and you're not supposed to really mix religion and government per se. You know, technically, you know, you're supposed to keep it separate. But you try to talk to these young people all the time and say that it's just more to this thing called life than just living. You know, there's an afterlife. You want to go to heaven. You want to be a part of the great holy choir one day. And so you talk to these people about that, young people. But as growing up, again, I was the oldest of four kids. And my mom and dad, my dad was a deacon. My mom did everything in the church. I mean, everything. She made uniforms for us when we were singing in the choir and the whole nine yards. So fast forward a little bit, I was telling the men group as I was growing up and when I got old enough to go off to college, you know how you men, you know, you kind of say, you know what, I don't have to go to church this Sunday. You know, mama, dad is not there making me get up out of bed. So I kind of took a break from church. But as I told the men group that morning, I never not knew where I was supposed to be. So even when I didn't go to church, and it wasn't that long. It was a little something on my, a little parrot on my shoulder that was telling me, what are you doing here in bed? What are you doing sitting down? You know where you're supposed to be. So I went through that little, I guess I call it a little rebellious stage at the time. And when I wanted to call myself being grown and I was going to do what I wanted to do. But we soon got back in church and I started going to church and I met my lovely wife, Audrey, who I've been married to. We made 40 years in August. August the 7th was 40 years for us. And now, she would tell you 45 because she said we dated for 5 years. And I told her, I said, that don't count, you know, because you could have been replaced during those 5 years. So easily replaced. So that doesn't count. But one of the things that my wife and I, we have two sons. And one of the things I'd always said about myself, that I was going to marry a Christian woman. And I always prayed that God would send me a Christian woman because I wanted my children, and I was hoping I was going to have children, but I wanted my children to grow up in church and know the Lord and have an opportunity to understand His goodness and His mercy. And I married that woman. That woman that I married, she's so much of a Christian woman. She keeps me grounded when I kind of get to feeling myself, you know, or let's say smelling yourself, you know. She kind of brings me back down to reality a lot of times. So we've been married, 40 years, and we have two sons, and we raised our boys up in church, and both of them are baptized and Christian young men, and sometimes I wonder if the devil had got hold of them, because my youngest son could be a handful sometimes. But it was a blessing that that neither one of them ever got any trouble or anything. They now live in Atlanta, and they have their own families. My wife and I have three grandkids. We're so proud of them. And when we're down there in Atlanta, one of my wife's biggest joy is to take them to church. And my boys, they've kind of bounced around to different churches in Atlanta, but it doesn't matter. Audrey wants to take the grandkids to church. You know, we're going to go to church where we're in Atlanta, because usually when we do come back to Memphis, it's usually on a Sunday afternoon. So we're going to go to church before we leave and hit the road. And she talks to the grandkids about God and about serving God. And so when I say that I married a Christian woman, ladies and gentlemen, I married a Christian woman. She prays and prays. She prays for me. And certainly over the course of years, I know that my prayer has been more diligent and more focused. And I thank God for that. I was telling the men disciple group that my favorite book in the Bible to read, it seems like I always find what I need in the book of Psalms. I just like reading the book of Psalms. I don't know what it does for any of you, but it seems like no matter what I'm going through, whatever the crisis is in my life, I can find what I need in the book of Psalms. I keep a Bible on my desk at work, and sometimes I ask my secretary, Karen, to close the door, give me a minute, and sometimes I have to read some of that book of Psalms just to find, you know, just to get me through the day. Excuse me, I'll tell you, I still got this morning voice. Just to get me through the day in some days and stuff, because it can be challenging. Leading an organization with about 2,000 employees, trust me, I've got about 2,001 problems, you know. But it's just good to reflect sometime. And then sometimes I need quiet time. You know, they tell you about, you know, sometimes you have to find a quiet spot in your house and pray and meditate. And I have that place in my house. I pray every morning. I just like getting up, starting my day with prayer. Prayed before I came here. And I was telling the men ministry about an incident, and how much time I got, Dave? Okay, all right. So I pray every morning before I get up, but one of the things that I share with the ministry, men ministry the other morning, was that I have truly, truly, truly lived a blessed life. And I am so thankful to God for the opportunities that He has given me. And I don't take it lightly at all, because I have prayed for things and prayed for things that may not have worked out the way I wanted it, but it worked out. It worked out the way God planned for it to work out. And I was sharing with the ministry the other morning about an episode that I had in 2012. And I really want you to listen to me and hear me. Back in 2012, I had what was called a simple sinus surgery. Anybody ever heard about a simple surgery? Well, that simple surgery didn't quite work out, but it did. But I had a sinus surgery in 2012, and I came home, and I was sitting in the den because I couldn't lay down. The doctor told me, do not lay down. You got to sit up in a chair, and I didn't have a recliner, but I had a chair and an ottoman. So I came home about Tuesday afternoon, about 2 o'clock. So I sit in the chair and I sat there on the ottoman. My wife, she fed me and gave me a bowl of soup. And I just slept all day Tuesday. All day Wednesday, I really just slept the whole day. Didn't really wake up. Drank just maybe a few swallows of water and went back to sleep. So Thursday morning rolls around. So my wife wakes me up. This is about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And she wakes me up and she asks me, she says, how are you feeling? And I said, well, I think I feel pretty good and stuff. So she says, well, I'm going to go to work this morning. And my wife, she's retired since then. But she says, I'm going to go to work and I'll see you this afternoon. I said, fine. So she gets up and she goes to work. Well, now it's around about 8:30, 8:45. And I'm sitting there in the den and I'm watching SportsCenter. I never will forget it. I was watching SportsCenter that morning and it dawned on me that I hadn't went to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You know, most of us have to go to the bathroom in the mornings and stuff. Well, then when I was sitting there, I was going like, you know what? I don't even remember using the bathroom since about Wednesday morning, Tuesday or something. I said, so let me go use the bathroom. I said, surely I got to use the bathroom. So I get up and I walk to a half bathroom outside of our kitchen. Well, when I got to the bathroom, I used the bathroom, I'm washing my hands, and I felt a sensation in my chest. Now, I didn't know what it was. I didn't feel like I was having a heart attack. I just felt real funny all across my chest. And I kept saying, I said, this is not right. I said, I don't feel good. This just doesn't feel right. So as I'm passing out of the bathroom, I'm passing the garage door, and something told me to open the garage door. And I let the garage up, but I locked the door to the house coming into the garage. And I don't know why I did that. But anyway, I go back into the den and I'm sitting there and I said, you know what? I'm going to give this about 5 minutes. And if I don't feel better in 5 minutes, I'm going to call somebody. And so I gave it about 3 because I knew I wasn't feeling right. So I called a friend of mine who's assistant chief of sheriff's office, Newt Schaefer. And I called Chief Schaefer and I told him he was out at the substation in Arlington. And I called him. I said, Newt, come to the house and take me to the hospital. And he was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, I don't know what's wrong, but I know I don't feel right. And I know I need to go to the hospital. And so he said, I'm on my way. That's all. He hung up the phone. Now, many of you might ask, why didn't you call your wife? Well, I knew me and my wife were going to go back and forth. She was going, well, what's wrong? How do you feel? Well, tell me this, tell me that. And Schaefer is just kind of a no-nonsense kind of person. You know, he's not going to ask me a whole lot of questions. He's going to do what I ask. But, you know, my wife I knew she was going to go back and forth with me. So I didn't even call my wife, right? So I go back to the back of our house, and I go to the bathroom. Now, mind you, I'm in my house clothes. I got a pair of sweatpants on. The bottom is ripped out and everything. But these are the most comfortable pants I had, you know, and I'm convalescent from surgery. So I go back I go through our foyer, go down the hallway, through our bedroom to our bathroom. And so I get back in the bathroom and I decide that I need to wash my face, brush my teeth. Hadn't done any of that in a couple of days. So I started brushing my teeth, and I hit my teeth about 3 times, and then all of a sudden I felt really, really bad, like I was getting ready to pass out. And I said, oh, let me get out of here. Let me go back up front toward the front of the house, because Schaefer's on the way. And so I come out of our bathroom, and I come out of the bedroom, and I get in the hallway, and I could feel myself passing out. And I passed out in the hallway coming out of our bathroom. And as I was laying there, kind of semi-unconscious, I said, God, don't let me die right here. I didn't know whether I was going to live or die, but I kept saying, Lord, don't let me die right here. I don't want my wife to come through this foyer and turn the corner and find my body in this hallway, because my wife's a little scary too, you know. So I said, Lord, don't let me die right here. And I don't know how to explain it to you or anybody else, but the next time when I was conscious again, I was at the back door of my house at the garage, the same door that I let the garage door up, but I locked the door. Now, this was around Christmas time. My wife had Christmas stuff everywhere, little trinkets all through the foyer, through the den, through our dining room, because there was two ways I could have went, and I, to this day, I don't know if I went through the den or if I went through the dining room. But I remember coming up, waking up, and I was looking up, and I was looking at the doorknob in the back door. Now, that scared me at first, you know, because I was like, how did I get here? Well, I don't remember walking through the house. I don't remember seeing any of the stuff. And so I was laying there, and I kind of, I thank God for getting there, because I said, well, at least you're not going to let me die in the hallway here. So I'm at the back door, and I remember the I could hear the medics outside opening the door, trying to get into the house. And they couldn't get in the house, and I was laying there, and I was looking up at the doorknob, and I said to myself, I said, Floyd, if you don't open this door, you're not going to live. You know, you got to let these emergency people in. And I heard them talking about we're going to have to break the door down and all of this stuff. So I was able to muster up enough strength, and I opened the door and let the paramedics in. So they took me, they got me up, and they took me in, put me in the ambulance. And as most people would think, you know, they're thinking I'm having a heart attack or something. Well, I knew I wasn't having a heart attack. I said, no, you know, I've never had one before, but I didn't think that was the feeling that I was feeling across my chest. So the whole time that we're going to the hospital, you know, and I'm actually praying, and Lord, I don't know what it is, but just take care of me. Just take care of me. So we go on to the hospital, and I'm going to shorten this story up a little bit. Anyway, they do MRIs, and one of the things that a young lady asked me when I came out of the MRI machine, she said, Mr. Bonner, have you ever had surgery on your chest? I said, no, never. Only surgery I've ever had was appendicitis on my honeymoon, by the way. I said, that's the only surgery I ever had, was in the sinus surgery that I just recently had. And so then she asked me, she said, well, do you have a necklace on or anything? I said, no, I said, I don't. And so I said, so what's going on? She said, oh, don't worry about it. Doctor tell you about it. So now I'm really worried now, because she's not telling me anything. So I get back over there, and the doctor came in, and I never will forget it. He told me, he said, Mr. Bonner, you've had multiple blood clots in your lungs. And he said, your lungs look like they've been shot with a shotgun. And he said, you had so many. He said, most of the time, 90% of the people don't live the first hour. And he said, only about 50% of people live 3 hours into this episode. And he looked at his watch and he said, well, you're about 3.5 hours in, so I guess you're going to live. That's exactly the way he told it to me. You know, he said, I guess you're going to live. You're about 3.5 hours in. So with that being said, you know, they did some other procedures and stuff, but I had these blood clots. Now, through no fault of the doctors on that, and I will tell you this, you know how when you go to the hospital, the doctors get you up immediately. They get you up, they make you walk and stuff. Well, I didn't do that when I came home on that Tuesday. I didn't really get up to that Thursday morning, drank very little fluids, didn't really eat. So I don't blame the doctor at all. You know, I think this was just another chapter in my life, if you will. So I don't blame the doctor. Look, if you need sinus surgery, have it. Don't listen to me and get scared. But so I did all these things on my own. But when I got up, I wound up staying in intensive care for about 3 or 4 days. And then when I was laying there, and even when I went home, I really started looking at the course of my life as to how I had gotten to where I was, and my family, my wife, my children. You know, when you have those medical emergencies or any kind of major challenges in your life, you start reflecting over your life. And you start wondering, you know, well, I never will forget when I was at home, because when I got home, I still had a lot of problems. Couldn't figure it out. My blood pressure would drop. I'd get dizzy, almost pass out sitting on the couch. I mean, just sitting down, I would almost pass out. So I'm sitting there, woe is me, and I'm praying, God, what is going on? You know, why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling? And I had a friend of mine that called me, and she told me, she says, look, I'm going to pray for you. But she said, Floyd, I don't know what it is, but God has something else for you. And I didn't understand it at the time, what she was meaning and everything. But she kept telling me, she said, Floyd, you ain't going nowhere. She said, God has something else for you to do. And I said, okay. And so sitting there, I probably stayed at home for about 2.5-3 months because I couldn't work. I was too afraid to put my weapon on because I was working downtown at the time, and was too afraid that I'd be walking down the sidewalk and pass out. So one day a friend of mine came over, and he gave me a cross, a pendulum with a cross, and I wear it. I told you this happened back in 2012, but I want to show it to you. I wear this cross every single day. Every single day. And up until then, I would never want to wear a cross because I always felt like I wasn't worthy. I was potty mouthed, and you know, I worked in narcotics, and you could imagine some of the things that I did and had to do and say and all of those things. I used to often wonder, being an undercover narcotics officer, would God hold me accountable for the lies I had to tell when I worked in that division. And what I mean by that is, when you're working undercover, most of the time guys would ask you, are you the police? And you had to act a certain way, talk a certain way. You had to talk the street language. And I was very good at talking the street language. And I understood what I had to do. So I was talking to my pastor one time, and I said, you know, Pastor, this is my job. This is how I go home every day. This is what's going to keep me safe. You know, I have to talk a certain way. I have to, and constantly lying, because the whole thing is a lie. You know, when you're doing undercover work and you're trying to talk this guy into bringing you a bunch of dope, or you're getting ready to try to sell him dope. So anyway, that's another part of my life as well that I like to forget. I enjoyed the job, but we'll put that one in the past. But when my friend brought me the cross over to the house, I don't know how to say it. It was so moving to me, and it made me comfortable. You know, my mom, I didn't understand this. My mom used to tell me all the time, you know, you need to keep your mind on the Lord. You need to keep him in your presence all the time through seen and unseen things. And until I didn't understand that until I got that cross around my neck. So I tell people all the time, when you see me reaching up at my chest, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just reaching for that cross. but it just meant so much to me, and it still means so much to me. You know, God has been such a blessing in my life. I think God has used me in a number of ways. As Pastor Danny was saying this morning, you know, when I was elected sheriff in 2018, one of the things that I wanted to do was get the sheriff's office more involved in the community. And I become more, or I'm more involved in the community. I try not to ever say no to anyone that wants me to come and speak. And certainly appreciate Danny and the opportunity to be here this morning just to share with you a little of my life story. But I want you to know that you have a God-fearing man in the sheriff's office, that I believe in God, I trust God, and I just believe that he's going to do wonderful things for this community. Now, I shouldn't have went as far. I go to Oak Springs Church which is on Godwin Road. My pastor is Michael Martin, and I have a very good relationship, close relationship with my pastor. Everything that I do politically and other things, you know, I always call Reverend Martin and ask him to come pray and pray for me and pray for my family and pray for our community. And as I lead this day every day, I always start off with a prayer, and I pray for us. I don't not only pray for me and my family, but I pray for this community because I want this community. You know, we all want to see change in this community. And I know there's some things that we've got to do, but one of the things that we've got to do is pray, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to pray because I'm telling you this, the way things are going now, It's just so much different than it was even when I was growing up. Most of us are older in this room this morning, and I'm sure every single one of you have a testimony how God has come into your life and has changed things. And a lot of the things that I believe in is that if we don't pray, then we have no hope. We have no hope whatsoever. Sure, I'm so proud of how the ministries of Memphis are really starting to step up and get involved with the community, get involved with the children. And that's work that we've all got to do. You know, I was telling, we didn't get in this shape overnight, and it's going to take us a little while to get out of it. But if any of you come from farmers, and know anything about farmer, I come from a long list of farmers on my mother and my father's side. But you know, you plow the field, you disc the field, you plant the seed. A little rain's got to fall for that seed to grow. So what I'm hoping is that we're in our rainy season before those plants and those seeds start to grow in our community. We can turn this thing around. I love Memphis, Tennessee. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in this country than Memphis, Tennessee. I tell people all the time that no matter what, my wife and I are going to be here. No, we're not going to Atlanta chasing grandkids or anything. You know, we're going to stay right here. This is our home. This is where my wife is from. We're not going anywhere. And we're so appreciative of the opportunities that we have and the platform that God has allowed me to be on, because as the sheriff, as Danny said, you know, I get a chance to speak all the time. Now, morning times are not my best time, but I don't mind. It's just a blessing from God that I had an opportunity to speak into young people's lives, because our kids are really just, There's so many challenges for them, things that we didn't have to go through with Facebook, TikTok, all the other things that our children would see. I remember growing up as a kid, my mama used to tell me all the time, said, boy, that music gonna be the death for you. That music, you need to quit listening to that music and stuff. You know, it's gonna be horrible and stuff. Well, I'm finding myself reliving my childhood through my kids, because when my kids were growing up, you know, it was rap music and all the other distractions and stuff. And I find it so funny now where my sons will tell their children, you know, certain music they won't allow their children to listen to. And my twins, my oldest grandkids are five. So my oldest son, he's so funny now because he acts like he's 75, but he's so particular about what they watch on TV, what they listen to. And I'm so proud of him because he plays such a big part in their lives. But that's what we've got to do. We've got to go back to our parenting skills. You know, when we grew up as kids, look at us all now. You know, it might not felt good, because I got a lot of whippings coming up. Might not have felt good or tasted good, but, you know, mom and daddy was right. You know, they were right in the way that you raise your kids and what you do and how you do it. And I like to think that I think where we've gone wrong here, is my personal opinion, is that the parents are not being parents anymore. You know, I see parents that are their child's friend instead of the parent. One of the things too that I'm most proud of, and I know I may be going a little bit too long here, but one of the things that I'm really proud of is that both of my sons, when they got married, they invited me to their bachelor party. Now, you could imagine, man, I'm daddy, and I got invited to their bachelor party. And I told the boys, I said, and I turned them both down. I said, you know what? I said, thank you for inviting me. I really, really appreciated that you think that much of your dad for me to come to your bachelor party. But I can't go to your bachelor party and be your dad, too. Now, most of these men in this room, y'all know what goes on at bachelor parties. You know, they can get a little out of hand. And I was hoping my boys' bachelor parties wouldn't get out of hand. But I told them, I said, I can't be your father and be in that kind of surrounding with you. You know, I don't go clubbing. I don't go to clubs anyway. But I can't. It's certain places that I always felt like that there had to be a border between me and my sons. And I love them dearly, and they know I love them. But it has to be a wall. At some point, I had to be daddy. And so it's certain things that I'm not going to do with you, and certain things you're not going to do with me. And they respect me. I know they probably let some words go sometime that they shouldn't, but they don't let them go around me because they respect their father, and I certainly do appreciate it, just like I respect my dad. My dad's still here. My mom passed away 24 years ago with breast cancer, but my dad is still here. He's 88 years old, and it's a level of respect that I still give to him, and I think that's where my sons come from now. And I think that's what we've got to do as parents, as grandparents, and all of us, that we've got to speak into these young people's lives. We can't be afraid. We've got to put the armor of God on and speak to these young people. You know, you don't think that when you speak into a child's life that, you know, no, they're not listening or they're not hearing. Yes, they are. Trust me, they truly, truly are. I talk to so many incarcerated youth in jail that said that they wish they had had a mentor. They wish they had had somebody to speak into their lives, and they really believe that the trajectory of their lives would have changed. So when you see a child and he might not be doing it the right way, just say something to him. You might think that, you know what, that kid ain't paid attention to me, but yes, they are. Trust me, they truly are. And we're going to get this thing right. We can't arrest our way out of jail. We can't put everybody in jail. And it's going to take citizens. It's going to take the churches. It's going to take all kinds of the nonprofits that we're involved with. It's going to take all of us doing the hard work. And it is hard work. This is heavy lifting to change the trajectory of our country as well as our community. So continue to pray for us here at the Sheriff's Office. Thank y'all so much for having me this morning. I hope I said something that maybe you even just learned a little bit more about the sheriff. But if you don't remember nothing else, just know that you have a God-fearing man sitting up there on the ninth floor at 201 Poplar. I love God. I love the Lord. I don't mind telling anyone about it. And I got a good Christian wife, so that keeps me grounded as well. But my sons, I'm so proud of them. But I can't tell you how much I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. So thank you all. Have a wonderful day.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. To be surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I sense in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only I can only imagine. I can only imagine, oh Lord. I can only imagine how I love to imagine when all I will do is forever and ever and ever, forever worship you, my Lord. I can only imagine.
Thank you for joining us this morning at Awaken Me. For questions, comments, or prayer requests, please email awakenme at info@jesushelps.me, info@jesushelps.me, or call 1-855-775-3787 and leave a message, 1-855-775-3787. Awaken Me is an all-volunteer group, so please leave a message and we will return your call. To hear more messages from the pastors and guest speakers of Awaken Me, more worship led by Bruce Carroll and Paul Berkus, please visit our website, jesushelps.me. That's jesushelps.me. Please join Awaken Me here on KWAM every Sunday at 10 a.m. Once again, thank you for joining us this morning at Awaken Me.